where we were having some disconnect. All right, Jesus. What? He is hitting the drums. Muff, hit the drums. Muff, hit the drum. One at a time.
Hey, little Christians, let me whisper in your ear. I know something about a savior you would like to hear.
All right, are we ready now?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Forever, y'all.
It says 1-5-6-4. It says 1-5-2-4.
What?
See?
Stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. gate as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. And the ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you to be. Could not be overcome. And now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you to be.
Oh, he gave his very love.
sin is overcome. Oh, it's conquered. Oh, by the blood of the Lamb, I am.
Oh, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Cause we have a risen Savior.
We sing hallelujah.
Oh,
the Lamb is overcome.
Cause we have salvation.
Hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Forever He is glorified.
Come on, y'all. Hey, Soleil, come bring your microphone, please.
would sing these songs, as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a heart.
Good morning, Ascend Church. Does anyone serve a risen Savior that's in the world today? Come on and give your Savior some praise. Give your risen King some praise in this place. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Let's give him the honor and the glory that he's due. We worship him, Lion of Judah.
God of Jacob, great I am, King of angels, Son of Man, voice of many waters, King of heaven's throne, louder than the thunder, make your glory known.
Of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Flesh and bone, you alone are worthy to open up the scroll. Like a lamb you suffer, but the lion has arose. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar.
Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord for all valleys. Prepare the way of the Lord for all mountains. Be the way of the Lord for all valley. Prepare the way of the Lord for all mountain. Be the way of the Lord for all valleys. Be raised up. All mountains be made low, all valleys be raised up, all mountains be made low. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion
roar. All valleys, come on.
All valleys be raised up. All mountains be made low. All valleys be raised up. All mountains be made low. All valleys be raised up. All mountains be made low. All valleys be raised up, all mountains be made low.
All valleys be raised up, all mountains be made low. Come on, make that declare.
All valleys be raised up, all mountains be made low.
Somebody give him a shout of praise. We serve a risen Savior. Come on, somebody get excited.
I Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say, praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. You know, we sang about the lion of the tribe of Judah, and that's because Jesus, he is the lion today. I want to read here, you know, in the book of Revelation, where the apostle John, he saw the Lord Jesus after his resurrection, because, you know, we all have that image of Jesus on the cross, and we're thankful for the price that he paid for us. But let me tell you, Jesus isn't on a cross anymore, and Jesus isn't in a tomb anymore, and Jesus isn't a baby in a manger anymore. Let me tell you who Jesus is. In Revelation chapter 1, it said, I am John, your brother, and in Jesus we are partners in suffering and in the kingdom and in patient endurance. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and speaking about Jesus. It was the Lord's day, that means a Sunday. And I was worshiping in the Spirit, and suddenly I heard a loud voice behind me, a voice that sounded like a trumpet blast, and it said, write down what you see and send it to the seven churches. And when I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven golden lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like snow, and his eyes were bright like flames of fire. And his feet was bright as bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. And he held seven stars in his right hand. And a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. And his face was as bright as the sun in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Let me tell you right now, I can't wait to see Jesus, the resurrected one. He is the lion. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on, put your hands together and give him some praise. Lord, we praise you today. We thank you that you are alive, that you have risen. We thank you that you have redeemed us, Lord. You know, when Jesus came up out of that grave, we came up out of that grave. Because everything he did for you and me. So we're going to sing the song, It's a Glorious Day. Today is a glorious day that Jesus rose from the dead and we rose up with him. Can you say amen? Come on, let's give God some praise today. Put your hands together and sing with us today.
Here we go. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my door till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my doom till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, hey, yeah. Out of the darkness,
hey,
into your glorious day.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old me knew Jesus when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Woo! Out of the darkness your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness
Break it down for me.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. My chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a son of heaven.
Come on.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing.
I have a future. My eyes are open.
When you call my name, I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name. Into your glorious day.
Come on now, you gotta get excited. Hey, thank you, Lord. Father, we worship you in this place. We give you all the praise, for you alone are worthy, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for.
You're worthy of it all.
took all our sin and shame away. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon Him. Oh. One final breath He gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. And the ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. And the ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. Perfect love cannot be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified.
Overcome shame.
We sing hallelujah.
Come on.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
He has overcome sickness. Come on.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb, He has overcome poverty. Come on.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
He is alive.
He is alive.
commandments name. Redemption in the blood is built for you and me. Oh, freedom from addiction in the name.
And we sing hallelujah.
Come on, church.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Oh, we sing.
The Lamb is overcome.
Hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
Whoa.
We sing hallelujah.
Yeah.
We sing hallelujah.
Oh, we say.
The Lamb is overcome.
We sing hallelujah. Yeah, we do.
We sing hallelujah.
From our heart.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
We glorify you, Lord, in this place. Hallelujah. It was a dark day when the Lamb of God took upon himself the sin of the world. It was a dark time. The heavens went dark. The ground shook. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he willingly took upon himself the sin and the curse of all mankind. It was a dark day, says the Lord. It was a dark day because I knew what it took to take your sin and to take your punishment. And I was willing to do it. So it was a very dark day. But it did not last, says the Lord. That darkness was short-lived, says the Lord, but it accomplished everything that it had to do. The plan of God from the foundation of the world was in action right in front of mankind. Some did not even recognize what they were seeing, but all the same, the Lamb of God was going and taking and becoming our redemption. He was bearing our sin and our curse. And by his blood, we have eternal redemption with the Father. He was breaking open a doorway into the heavenly realm. He was breaking open a doorway that had never been before that time. A doorway where we could enter into the heavenly realm. He said, come boldly into my throne room. Come boldly to my throne of grace. Find mercy and help in a time of need. He broke a way through. So the darkness stays behind and the light begins to shine. On that great morning when he rose from the dead, he rose triumphant. He rose victorious. The work was finished. It did not have to still, something still had to be done. So right now as you stand and you think about what Jesus has done, don't come to him with a thought, I need to do this, I need to give up that. Come to him and receive eternal redemption, the grace of God which washes away the sin of mankind for all time, the mercy of God that is able to do what you could never do in your own strength, the mercy that God shows us mercy when we don't deserve it. So if you are thankful for that this morning, just give a shout and say, thank you, Lord. 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 I'm so thankful. How about you? It's a good morning. Turn and say to somebody, it's a good morning. Wonderful. You may be seated. Praise God. What a beautiful time of worship. Thank you to our worship team for just leading us so beautifully this morning. A welcome to each and every one of you to Ascend Church. How good to see you this resurrection morning. I'm the pastor's wife. I'm Jill Barry. I'm so thrilled that you're joining us this Easter. And to those that are watching online, if you Ascend Church members, we miss you, we love you, we wish you were here with us. To those watching from around the world, thank you for joining us this morning. I pray that you would be uplifted and encouraged by the Word of God as it's taught today. Amen. Who's glad to be in church? I'm thrilled to be in church. You know, I love the egg hunts and the fun that comes with Easter. I do love the chocolate that comes with Easter. But let's keep our eyes on the reality of what it's all about. Amen. Praise God. Well, so good to see you in church this morning. And I see a lot of new faces, and we'd like to just honor you. If you are here for the first time today, we're not going to embarrass you in any way. We'd just like to hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand? You won't be the only one, and we'll welcome you. Come on. Let's make them feel welcome. Keep your hand up until someone sees you. Thank you, Shanta, over there. Right over there. Thank you. Thank you. If we didn't get to meet you, we'd love to meet you after the service and say hi. Thank you for joining us today. I'm not sure how you came. Perhaps you were invited by friends or family. But I always find that when you look back on things, you find the Lord's directing your steps. So I pray that you get whatever it is that you need today, that you hear something in service this morning, that you experience a touch from God that is life-changing to you. Amen. And in that bag, there's a card that says guest. We ask if you just take a moment and fill your name and details on there. When we pass an offering bucket by, just drop it in. And the reason we do that is Pastor Steve would love to just give you a call, find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that this morning. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? It was actually wonderful. We had such a Good Friday service. We had a wonderful service. And as we ended, we all left at 8. And the Spanish church that we allow to meet here came in right after us. And it was just wonderful. It was just a weekend of worship. So we're so glad about that. But I just want to let you know there's various ways you can watch our service. You can watch on Facebook Live. They're streaming now. Let us know where you're watching from. You can share that with your friends and family. On YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, go and subscribe to that. There's a lot of messages. Every week's message is uploaded and shareable. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you. You can watch on our website. You can watch on our mobile app, which is so easy to download. So there's a barcode right on your seat that you can just scan. So thank you for doing that. And right now, we are going to take a moment and we are going to have an opportunity to give into the house of God. Amen? We give to the Lord. And you say, well, I'm giving in the natural. But, you know, they did that in the Old Testament. They gave in the natural, but God received it as an offering to him. Amen? And I always like to read a scripture. You know, Easter is all about the good news of the gospel. That's what it's all about. It's about God's heart of generosity and love towards us. That's the whole Easter story, right? So all over the world, churches right now at Easter are sharing the greatest act of generosity and love that it'll never be outdone. Amen. And we give because God gave. The Bible says in John 3:16, and you may have learned this in Sunday school. You may have learned it when you were younger, heard the scripture. But it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So you see that God loved and then he gave. Amen. In the Message Bible, it says, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." That's a verse we're very familiar with, but it really reveals the generous heart of God. In Matthew 20, verse 28, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, "Just as the Son of Man came not to be waited on and to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, the price paid to set them free." So not only was the Father one of a generous, giving heart, so was Jesus. Amen. God willingly gave Jesus, motivated by love, and Jesus willingly laid down his life, motivated by love. And so today, as we come to, we have the opportunity to give. There are envelopes in the seats in front of you. There's a red envelope. There's various ways you can give as you feel stirred to do so. But do so out of a heart. Do it out of your love for God. Do it out of a generous spirit. Do it out of thankfulness for what God has done for you. Amen. That's the natural outflowing of what we feel in our hearts. So go ahead and prepare yourself. There's various, they'll put it up. There's various ways to give, and all secure giving. So go ahead and avail yourself of any of those. They've probably got a frozen screen, but it'll come up in a moment. There it is. Very simple. Also, Zelle is on that same email address, the Send Church email. So thank you for your generosity. We thank each and every one of our faithful tithers, those that give online week after week. We so appreciate your giving into the house of God. Amen? Amen. And before we pass the offering buckets, I want to remind the visitors, please just drop your card in there that you filled out. And Pastor Steve, would you like to pray over those giving?
Sure. Praise God. Well, you know, as my wife so eloquently said, that we can never give, we can never outgive the Lord. He has given his very, very best. And Right. Everywhere in the scripture you see, like, you know, this is Passover weekend. Jewish people are celebrating Passover, which really, the Old Testament Passover was a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. He's the true Passover lamb.
Right, right.
And even at Passover time, God told them when they came at the Passover that everyone was to bring an offering. I said, "Don't let anyone appear before me empty-handed." Right. And then when Jesus was born, I was just reading it, the wise men came and they worshipped him. They gave him gifts. Right. When Jesus was being prepared for his death, the Mary came and she poured the expensive perfume and she anointed his feet. Right. The Bible says the perfume was worth 1 year's wages. Right. A year's wages. And Judas got mad, and Judas was like, "This was a waste. We could have sold that and given it to the poor." He didn't care about the poor. Yeah. He was stealing out of the offering basket. Yeah. That's what he was concerned about.
Yeah.
So there's people that say, "Well, you could do this and you could do that." It's never about that. It's about them being stingy and not wanting to give. But let me tell you, God, amen, he delights. Giving is an act of worship. So thank you for your giving this morning. Father, I thank you that you are the ultimate giver, that you gave your only begotten Son to redeem us. Lord, what could we ever do? And what could we ever give? Nothing. But Lord, we are so thankful and grateful for all you've done in our life, that we want others to know this great news. And I thank you, Father, for everyone who's giving today. Jesus, you said that when we give, that you will cause people to give back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And Father, I thank you for blessing every giver. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, I think ushers, everyone should be ready by now. I got dressed up today, being Easter Sunday. Decided to put my suit on. my purple tie because Jesus, they put a purple robe on him. And it also speaks about royalty. And I see some of you got dressed up too. You're looking good. Tell your neighbor you look good today. Tell him you look better than you did last week. You're looking good today. Praise the Lord. Well, we're so glad you're here today. And if you are a first-time guest, I would love to be able to reach out to you and maybe talk to you this week. And I can only do that if you fill out that guest card. And also, we're going to have a register that comes by, an attendance register. We ask you just to fill your name in on that. Thank you for doing that. Now, praise the Lord. Can I have my notes up there? I'm ready to start. Who we have on teleprompter today? Richard, are you ready? Praise the Lord. Well, today is Easter Sunday. It is the day we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And I want to speak to you about the power of his resurrection. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We need to know the power of Jesus' resurrection because Jesus' resurrection is the greatest event in the history of the world. Let's read it together in Matthew chapter 28 from verse 1. I'm going to read here. It says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. That means they passed out under the power. It says, the angel spoke to the woman, and said, don't be afraid. I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Say, he is risen from the dead. Come see where his body was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you. And the woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy, as they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. And as the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priest what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, you must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble. And it says, so the guards accepted the bribe, and they said what they were told to say, and their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. You know that's true? They still tell it today. Many other people saw Jesus after his resurrection. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he said he was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures say. He was seen by Peter. He was seen by Mary. He was then seen by the 12 disciples. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. When Jesus rose from the dead, many people saw him. Many people witnessed it. Christianity did not start with a book it started with an amazing event, the greatest event in all of history. The foundation of our faith is not the Bible. It is an event, the resurrection. You know that people became Christians for 250 years before we had the New Testament. Because the foundation for faith in the first century was the resurrection. This is what separates Christianity from every other religion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 says, if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching has been for nothing. And your faith is useless. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, there's no point us even meeting here today. We might as well go down to the beach today. But thank God he is risen. Thank God he is alive. The resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. It was the resurrection that changed the disciples' lives. After Jesus was crucified, the Bible says that all the disciples, they all ran and hid. They all were afraid. But when they saw the risen Lord, they knew that all Jesus had said and all that Jesus had done proved that he indeed was God in the flesh. Amen. There's no other religious leader that has died in full view of trained executioners, had a guarded tomb, 16 soldiers guarded Jesus' tomb. Four at a time, they took shifts every 4 hours. No other religious leader has died and been guarded by 16 guards and 3 days later rose from the dead and appeared to more than 500 people. Hand me my phone. Can I tell you, I had someone get mad because I said this. Buddha did not rise from the dead. Muhammad did not rise from the dead. Confucius did not rise from the dead. Only Jesus rose from the dead. Can you say amen, somebody? In fact, Muhammad said before he died, Muhammad said, I don't know the purpose of life. Buddha said, seek for the truth. Confucius said, I am not the way. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I had one lady got, one young lady got upset with me, man. Because I said, Buddha's, let me tell you right now, there's no comparison to Buddha, Confucius, and Muhammad, and Jesus Christ. There's no comparison. All those other men were just men. They're dead, but Jesus was God in the flesh. That's why he is alive. Only Jesus has risen from the dead, walked on water, claimed to be God, and raised others from the dead. Only Jesus has conquered death. Only in Christianity do we have the person of Christ who claimed to be God, who performed many, many miracles, proved his claim of divinity, claimed that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except by him, and then died and rose from the dead. Only in Christianity do we have a risen Savior. And let me tell you, the proof of Jesus' resurrection is that all of the disciples except one, John, the Apostle John, all of the other disciples were martyred. They died terrible deaths. Some of them were sawn in half. Some of them were crucified upside down. They died terrible deaths. Now, let me tell you, do you believe that all those disciples would have died like that for a lie? Would they have been martyred unless they knew, they had seen Jesus is alive? According to the Guinness World Book of Records, the most successful trial attorney in the world was a man by the name of Sir Lionel Lacu from Guyana. He won 245 consecutive murder acquittals. He won his cases. He was a criminal defense attorney, 245 in a row. How'd you like him representing you? I'd hire him in a minute. 240 consecutive victories. He's in the Guinness, you can go look it up in the Guinness Book of Records. He's the most successful trial attorney in the world. He was knighted twice by Queen Elizabeth. He served as a judge, a diplomat, a mayor, and he was a world-class expert on what constitutes reliable, persuasive, and legally admissible evidence. And Sir Lionel Lacoue took his expertise and took the time to apply his legal expertise to whether the resurrection stands up to the test of legal evidence. And he concluded, he said, "I say unequivocally that all the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt." The most successful attorney in history applied the legal test of evidence to the historical accounts of Jesus' resurrection and concluded with absolute confidence that Jesus' resurrection is a reality. And having looked at all the evidence, Sir Lionel did the most logical thing in the world. He gave his life to Christ. And he said he found the real peace and happiness and joy that he'd been searching for. What is it that makes Jesus' resurrection so significant? What does Jesus' resurrection mean to you and to me? Well, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. Say firstborn. Now, what does that mean? He's the firstborn from the dead. Because Jesus was not the first to be raised from the dead physically. Jesus was not the first to be raised from the dead physically. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah raised the son of a widow and Zarephath from the dead. In 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha raised the Shunammite woman's son from the dead. Jesus raised the son of a widow in Nain from the dead in Luke chapter 7. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead in Mark chapter 5. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. There are 10 places in the Bible where people were raised from the dead. So why does the Bible call Jesus the firstborn from the dead? Because it isn't talking just about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. That is the power of Jesus' resurrection. You see, when God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, mankind in the beginning, the Bible says He created us in His own image and likeness. He created Adam's body from the dust of the earth, and then He breathed His own life into Adam, and Adam became a living being. See, God created us spirit, soul, and body. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." You are a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotion, and you live inside of this body. This body is only the house you live inside. The real you is on the inside. We've been created in the image of God, and God is a spirit. Now, God, when He created man, He gave him all authority over all the earth. In Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion." The Amplified Bible says, "Let them have complete authority." God gave man authority over everything on the earth. And God would come down in the Garden of Eden. In the cool of the day, He would come down and He would walk and talk with Adam. He would fellowship with Adam and Eve. See, God made you and me for a relationship. God wants to have a relationship with you. But God told Adam in Genesis 2:17, He said, "Adam, you can eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it. For in the day you eat it, you shall surely die." And the Message translation says, "The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead." Now, God told this to Adam before he created Eve. Eve didn't hear it. Adam repeated it to her. So the devil comes as a serpent to tempt Eve, and he deceives her. And he says to her, did God really say that you must, did God really say that you must not eat from any of the trees in the garden? And she says, she replies, we can eat of every tree except for the tree that's in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We must not eat that tree because the day we eat it, we'll die. And what does the devil say? You won't die. God knows that your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and knowing evil. Do you know that the devil uses the same tactics today on you and me? Did God really say that? That's what the devil will tell you. Did God really mean that? The enemy tries to get us to doubt what God says. So Satan convinces Eve, and she convinces her husband. Someone said, where would we be without women? Probably back in the Garden of Eden. Now that's a joke. That's just a joke. Because she didn't know what she's doing, really. The Bible says she was deceived, but Adam knew what he was doing. He went into it eyes wide open. And they eat of the tree, and immediately they feel shame. They start to cover their nakedness. They feel guilt. And they are separated from God through sin. That's spiritual death. Their spirit died. Now, they didn't die physically that day because Adam lived another 930 years after they sinned. But their spiritual death resulted in physical death. Spiritual death means to be separated from God because He is the source of all life. And if you're not connected to Him, you might be breathing, but you're dead. Sin separates you from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, it is your sins that separate you. Do we have that? Are the scriptures coming up behind me? Are we not having any scriptures come up behind me while I'm doing this? We're having a problem. Have we not had any scriptures come up? Oh, we did, and then it stopped. Is everything okay back there? Miguel, give me a thumbs up. You're working, or is it freezing up or something? Would happen on Easter Sunday, wouldn't it? Adam and Eve's sin brought spiritual death. They lost the life of God that was on the inside of them, and they were separated from Him. Now, how does that affect you and me? What's that got to do with you and me? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone for everyone's sin. So when Adam sinned, that sin entered the world, and it spread to everybody, like a virus. That spiritual death spread to everybody. Where's Monique at? William, go ask Monique to help them to get it going. Now, in Ephesians 2 verse 1, you're going to have to trust me. Usually we'd have all the scriptures come up here so you could see what I'm saying is true. But in Ephesians 2 verse 1, it says, in the past, you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things you did against God. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God. That sin and death spread to everybody. You and I are born in sin, and we are spiritually dead, separated from God. That sin brought a curse on the entire earth. In Romans 8:20, it says, against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. This curse that came on the earth because of sin brought death, brought sickness, brought poverty. Every negative thing that you can think of came on the earth because of sin. And Adam now gives the authority that God gave him, he gives it over to the devil. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that Satan is the god of this world, and he has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. The Bible calls the devil the god of this world. That's a little g, not a big g. He's not the creator of the world. In 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we are children of God and that all the rest of the world around us is under Satan's power and under Satan's control. Let me tell you, Satan is the one who's controlling the world. That's why the world's in the mess that it is. You want to know why this world is so messed up? Because we've got a crazy devil who's controlling it. People blame God. Well, how could God let that? How could God let that? God gave Adam authority, and Adam gave that authority to the devil, and the devil's using that authority right now to control the world, but his time's coming up because Jesus is coming back. That's what the Bible says. Now, God had a plan to save us, to redeem us, because God loves you and me so much. In Ephesians 1 verse 5, it says, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us, and he did it because he wanted to. God had a plan from the beginning. Before Adam and Eve even sinned, he already had the plan to send his son Jesus to redeem us. God's plan is Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, why did God have to send his son? Why did God have to come to the earth himself? Well, because Romans 3:23 says everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's why only God himself could save us from sin, because every human being is in the same situation. That's why Buddha can't save you. That's why Confucius can't save you. That's why Muhammad can't save you, because they're human just like you and me. They can't save you. Every human being is born with a sin nature. Only God himself, who is without sin, could redeem us and save us from sin. So God sent his son, his only son, Jesus, to come to the earth to take our sin and to become sin in our place. Can you say amen, somebody? So we could be saved from everlasting death. That means being separated from God for eternity and give us everlasting life. Jesus was God in human flesh. And this is what separates Christianity from every other religion. Jesus was not just a good man. He was God himself who came to the earth to redeem us. Amen. Jesus comes to the earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. He enters into the womb of Mary. He lives a sinless, perfect life. He willingly lays his life down for you and me. He is mocked. He is beaten. He is crucified. He becomes sin in our place on the cross. Because of our sin, he's forsaken by God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus dies spiritually and then physically. Jesus is separated from the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? He's separated. Why? Because of our sin. He experiences spiritual death. Because of our sin, he goes into hell for 3 days and three nights and suffers in our place. But after 3 days and three nights, thank God, he conquers death, hell, and the grave. And he triumphs over the enemy. In Colossians 2, verse 15, the Bible says, Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. The Bible says that Jesus, he triumphed over the enemy, and he led the devil and all his demons in a procession of triumph. Now, a procession of triumph, that refers to when a Roman general would return home from a great victory in a enemy territory. It describes the general's triumphant parade. He would parade his defeated enemy bound in chains behind his army. And he and his army would ride through the streets of Rome. And all the citizens of Rome would come out and they would cheer for the general for his victory. That was called making a public spectacle of your enemy, triumphing over him. That's what Jesus did to our enemy. Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He led Satan and all his demons in a triumphant parade. Jesus rises from the dead as the firstborn from the dead. What does that mean? Jesus is the first one to come back from sin and separation and be born again spiritually, come back into life. Now, when the Bible says he's the firstborn, that implies there's a second born, there's a third born, there's a fourth born, there's a fifth born. Can I tell you right now, there are millions of people who have experienced this. Amen? Romans 8:29 says, For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Now, I don't know what number I am, but I'm in there somewhere, man. Jesus is the firstborn. There's a secondborn. There's a thirdborn. I'm in there somewhere. I mean, I might be 10 billion. I don't know. No, 10 million. I don't know where I am. But we also have been born again. Can you say amen? You can be born again. You can be made alive. You can be brought back into fellowship and connection with God where you are spiritually alive. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, the Bible says, the scriptures tell us, the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, he became a life-giving spirit. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. In Romans 5:18, it says, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. See, that's what Jesus himself, he said in John 3 verse 3, unless you are born again, you can never get into the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you can never get into the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about being your spirit being born again. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sin, and you receive him by making him the Lord of your life, then God's life enters into you and you are born again in your spirit and you become a brand new person. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Another translation, the New Living Translation, says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person inside. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. I remember when I received Jesus into my life, and I became a brand new person. The old Steve Barry died. Like Paul said, it's no longer I who live. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is now Christ who lives on the inside of me. You see, what does Jesus' resurrection mean to you and to me? Everything Jesus did in his death and resurrection was for your benefit, was for my benefit. In Romans 4:25, it says he was delivered up because of our offenses, and he was raised because of our justification. He was delivered up because of our offenses and sin, and he was raised because of our justification. So what is the power of Jesus' resurrection? When Jesus was raised to life, he came from spiritual death and separation with his Father God back into spiritual life. He took our sin and he freed us from the power of sin so we could be made righteous and we could have right standing with God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus became sin for you and me so that we could become the righteousness of God himself. The New Living Bible says, so we could be made right with God through Christ. You see, I'm not right with God because of the good things I do. Some people think, well, my God, how do you know you're going to go to heaven? Well, it depends. You've got to do good things. And you could never do enough good things to earn your way into heaven. You are not right with God based on anything you do. You're not right with God because you go to church every Sunday. You're not right with God because you try and do good deeds. You are right with God only one way, and that is because of Jesus Christ. He took your sin so that you could become the righteousness of God. That's what the Bible says. We are now the righteousness of God. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. That means that you can come boldly before God. We're no longer sinners. I've heard Christians say, well, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. No, you were a sinner. Then you got saved by his grace. You're not a sinner anymore. That's not your title. You are the righteousness of God. You are a child of the Most High God. That's who you are. You're the righteousness of God. I see churches, I see pastors talking about, we're a church for the broken. We're all broken. We're all sinners. No, you're broken when you come to him. You're a sinner when you come to him. He doesn't leave you that way. He changes you and he makes you righteous. He makes you a new creation. You get born again. You don't stay broken. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He set us free from that curse that came on the earth. In Galatians 3, verse 13, it says, did we just forget the screen altogether now? What do we do with it? Because I'd rather have a picture than a black screen back there. What are you trying to do? It's all gone down? Thank you, Jesus. Well, I won't let it bother me. I'll try not to let it bother me. We'll try and get everything perfect for Easter. Everything perfect for Easter. And that's the day we have. Anyway. Galatians 3:13. I hope you're getting something out of this. It's a lot easier for me to do this. It's a lot easier when you can see the scriptures come up. But anyway, Galatians 3:13 says. Thank you. Oh, you got. Yeah, they're on. We gave you their handout with all the scriptures on. Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed it completely as he became a curse in our place. Say, Jesus, set me free from that curse. Can I tell you, Jesus set you and me free from the curse of sickness. Sickness is a curse. Matthew 8, verse 17 says, he himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his wounds, you were healed. We've been free from the curse of sickness. You don't have to be sick. I've been walking in divine health for 40 years. You may not believe it, but I'm 85. Not only did Jesus set you free from the curse of sickness, Jesus set you free from the curse of poverty. Jesus did not only take our sin, that's the big one, but he took our sicknesses, he took our poverty. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. That you through his poverty, that he could make you rich. Jesus became poor because God wants to make me rich. That's what the Bible says. God wants to prosper me. God wants me to be healthy. Jesus took that curse. Sickness is a curse. Poverty is a curse. I saw a picture of a monkey one time. And the monkey said, I have been poor and I have been rich, and rich is better. Even a monkey has got enough sense to know that poverty is not a blessing. It's a curse. Jesus delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Jesus gave us back authority over the devil. In Colossians 1:13, it said he delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. He conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Say, I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Say, I've been delivered from the curse. In Matthew 28, after Jesus' resurrection, he came to the disciples. He said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go and you make disciples in my name. You lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You cast out demons. Jesus won all that authority back, and he turned around and he delegated and he gave it to us. We've been given authority. In Luke chapter 10, move on to the next one for me. Luke chapter 10, 19, Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Say, I've been given authority. In Ephesians 2 verse 1, it says, he made you alive who were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind and the flesh, and were by nature children of wrath, just as other people. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together, and he made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Say, I've been raised up with Christ, and I am seated with Christ, and I have been given authority. That's the power of Jesus' resurrection. We were raised up with him. We are seated with him. We have authority over the enemy. James 4 verse 7 says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Matthew 18, 18, Jesus said, whatever you bind, whatever you forbid on earth, it'll be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit, it'll be permitted in heaven. See, you and I have been given authority because of what Jesus has done. We've been redeemed. Jesus took our sickness. Jesus took our poverty. Jesus gave us back authority. He brought us eternal life. People that do not receive Jesus in their life, they are dead. They might be breathing for a few years, but they are dead. They are separated from God, who is life. And unless you receive Jesus, you will spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. See, there's a place for people who want nothing to do with God. It's called hell. All of God's attributes have been removed. There's no air, there's fire, there's darkness. All of the goodness of God has been removed. For that's a place for people who don't want anything to do with God. I don't know about you, but I don't plan on spending eternity in a place called hell. You don't have to. Spiritual death, eternal death, is to be eternally separated from God. But people, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and when you get born again, and you are made alive in Christ, you have eternal life, which means you spend eternity in fellowship with God in a place called heaven. That's the power of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus conquered the enemy. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He brought us back into right standing with God. He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. He delivered us from sin, sickness, poverty. He gave us back authority. Jesus came so you and I can live a victorious life. Can I tell you, the Christian life is a victorious life. It's the best way to live. I tried the other. You want it, you can have it. I tried living away from God. I'd much rather live with the Lord with me every day of my life, wherever I go, for all eternity. In Romans 5, verse 17. Here we go. Our media team do a fantastic job. We appreciate them so much. They do an amazing job. They're all volunteer. Romans 5, verse 17 says, death once held us in its grip. And by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. It says, in other words, just as condemnation came upon all people through one transgression, so through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads to a victorious life is available to everybody. You can have peace with God and you can live a victorious life. It's available. One man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. So also, one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to Him. That's what we celebrate today. That's the power of Jesus' resurrection today. Jesus, He conquered the enemy for us. He gave us authority over the enemy. We can reign as kings in this life through Jesus. A victorious life is available to all through Jesus. He's the only Savior. He is the only way to be made right with God. He's the only way. Amen. Richard, stay with me, brother. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He's the only way that you can get to God. And I'm going to close with this. Romans 10, verse 9. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You must be born again. Say, I must be born again. Tell your neighbor, you may not know him, but tell him, you must be born again. Jesus was the first born from the dead. The first one to come from spiritual death. I don't think we can comprehend what it takes to come from spiritual death and separation to God. The only way to bring us back was for God Himself to come to the earth and take our sin so that we could be brought back into right standing in fellowship with God. You can be born again. You can be made alive. A victorious life is available to you. I can tell you, I was 16 years old. I wasn't raised in church. I was only 16, but I was a pretty good sinner by the time I was 16. Pretty good. Believe me, who knows where I would be now. But I'm so thankful. When I was 16, my mother dragged me to a church like this. Last place in the world I wanted to be. I thought Christians were weird. The Christians I knew were. They were kind of, but odd. But I heard a man, Theo Womerantz, preach the gospel like I never heard. He was a man's man. He was a karate champion, good looking, tall. I thought, now that's what a Christian should be. I'll listen. And I gave my life to Jesus. And I'm so glad because my life changed forever. I became born again. I became a new person. Easter is celebrating Jesus came to the earth to save us, paid an awesome price, gave His life for us, suffered for us, rose from the dead. What should our response be to everything that Jesus has done for us? We must believe in Him. We must receive Him. We must follow Him, and we must live for Him. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, He died for all, so that all who live, having received eternal life from Him, may no longer live for themselves, to please themselves, but spend their life pleasing Christ, who died and rose again for them. I determined when I was 16 years old, I'm going to spend my life pleasing God. Lord, not what I want, but what You want. Your will be done in my life. I thought I was going to be a rock and roll singer. That was my dream, rock and roll singer. Thank God that never happened. I'd probably be dead today. So thank God. Lord, we are so thankful. We're so thankful for all that You've done. We're so thankful for the price that You've paid. We're so thankful, Jesus, that You took our sin, that You suffered in our place, that You conquered death. You conquered the grave. You rose again. You're the firstborn from the dead. But thank God, we also have been born from the dead. We also have been raised up in Christ. We also have been made alive. And we are seated with you in heavenly places. I want you to bow your head for a moment. Just close your eyes if you would. I want to pray. I want to pray for anyone here this morning. If you're not sure, will you stand with the Lord today? If you're not sure, if all is right, all is well between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you're absolutely certain, you have no doubt, you know that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I would go to heaven. I do believe in that there's a God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Well, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church today. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. What I am asking you is, are you absolutely, positively certain that if you died today, you know without doubt that you would spend eternity in heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be sure of that. You can know that. You can walk out of here this morning. You can know that all is right and all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin that you ever committed in your life, it's been forgiven and washed away. And you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all eternity. Listen, the choice is between heaven and hell. It's not even a choice. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or anything like that. But right where you are sitting with your eyes closed, between you and God, you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right and well with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Won't you pray for me? If that's you, I want you right now to lift your hand up high. I'm about to pray. If you want to be included, lift it up now. Put it up now. I see hands being raised. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Lift it up high. God bless you. Lift that hand up. It'll never be easier than it is right now. And if you are not sure and you don't respond today, you will never forget this moment throughout all eternity when you had the chance, but you didn't respond. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Steve, there was a time in my life when I was following the Lord, when I knew the Lord, I knew Jesus, but I've drifted away. And today, I want to recommit and rededicate my life to Him. If that's you, you want to make a recommitment, a rededication, lift your hand also. You put your hand up too, along with the others. All right. Everyone who raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer. I mentioned it earlier in Romans 10:9. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I want you to say this prayer. I'm going to ask for everybody to say this prayer with me, whether you raised your hand or whether you didn't. I'm doing everything I can to get you into the heaven. I'm doing everything I can to get you into the kingdom of God. So say this with me, everybody. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me. I believe, Jesus, you are alive. You have been raised from the dead. And I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. Say this. Say, Lord, I thank you Because I have received you, I am now saved. I am a child of God. God, you are my Father. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Say, thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Won't you give God praise and thanks for every person today that prayed that prayer and received Jesus in their life? This is what this day, Resurrection Sunday, is all about. Now today, right after service, we're going to be having water baptism. Oh. Get their name. Oh, communion. Thank you so much. It's been quite a weekend. I had Friday and last Sunday, and this is like the third Easter service, so we're going to have communion. We're going to do it real fast. Can someone, there's one on the chair, can someone throw that up to me? Can toss it up. There you go. Should we have communion together? Well, open it up right now. We're handed out when they came in the door. If you don't have a communion emblem, if you don't have the wine and the bread, lift your hand up. We'll get one to you real quick. Thanks, ushers. We need a few people helping. If you don't have one, raise your hand. You know, when Jesus, the night he was betrayed, the Bible says he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus' body was broken so that our body can be made well. He took 39 stripes on his back, which represents the 39 different categories of diseases. Jesus took your sickness. He took your disease. You don't have to be sick. You can live in health. Say this as you eat the bread. Say this. Say, Jesus, I thank you for your body that you gave to be broken for me. Thank you, Lord, for the price you paid, that by your wounds I was healed. Let's eat the bread together. The Bible says Jesus took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. The reason we partake of communion is we remember Jesus' body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed to cleanse us of all sin. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood that you shed for me. Thank you that through your blood I have been redeemed. I have been forgiven. I have been born again. I have been made righteous, all because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood that you shed for me. Amen. Go ahead and drink. Praise God. That's okay. Now, right after service, we have a number of people getting baptized in water. Like about 15, 16 people getting baptized in water. And I wanted to just read one scripture to explain to you what that's all about. Because when I was a baby, my parents had me christened in the Roman Catholic Church. A lot of people may have been christened or baptized when you were a baby. That's not really real baptism. Let me read what baptism is. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses. Just hang in there with me. I'm so glad we got that to read on the, got that working for them to read. Do you have that scripture ready? There we go. It says, so what do we do then? Do we persist in sin so that God's kindness and grace will increase? What a terrible thought. We have died to sin once for all. As a dead man passes away from this life, so how could we live under sin's rule a moment longer? Or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Christ, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death? And notice verse 4. Sharing in his death by our baptism. sharing in his death by our baptism. You're going to get baptized today. It's identifying with Christ's death and resurrection. Sharing in his death by our baptism means, what does baptism mean? It means that we were co-buried with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him, so that we could be empowered to walk in the new freshness of new life. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts. Verse 6, could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. And if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share in the fullness of his life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has vanquished death, and its power over him is finished. It says, for by his sacrifice, he died to sin's power once and for all. But now he continually lives for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal, while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Sin is a dethroned monarch. So you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live, compelling you to obey its desires and its cravings. So then refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. You live now for his pleasure, ready to be used for his noble purpose. Remember this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. You are not governed by law, but you are governed by the reign of the grace of God. That kind of says it all. Water baptism is just like Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead, triumphant over that sin. When you get baptized, you bury your past. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new person. You bury that past, and as you come up out of that water, you are identifying, my past is gone, my past is over. I'm born again, I'm a new creation, I'm living a new life now. Sin has no power over me. Now I'm living as a resurrected one. I'm living by the power that Jesus gives me, a brand new life for his purpose and his pleasure. That's what baptism is. And I really believe, as you get baptized today, that anything that would try and hold you to your past is going to be broken off for you. I believe you're going to bury that past under the water, and I believe God is going to touch your life today. Jesus said, go and make disciples and baptize them. There's a power in water baptism, and that's what we're going to do today. So as soon as we close, all those who are being baptized, please go and get changed get into your baptism clothes. We have bathrooms. But go get changed. We've got the pool set up outside. I'm going to go get changed, and we're going to start baptizing immediately, and it won't take long. It'll move fast. And we want to encourage you, if you can, to stay and be a witness. And witness this wonderful day of people who are being baptized. Come and stand around. We want to take pictures. We want to make sure we get video of every person, right? So praise the Lord. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them, I'm thankful for Jesus today. Praise the Lord. Stand up with me as we close out in prayer today. Father, we just thank you again. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for loving us so much, for sending your only Son. We thank you for redeeming us. We thank you, Lord, for setting us free from the curse. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. We are forever grateful, Lord. And we give you all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you'll join us next Sunday. Come back next Sunday. Witness baptism with us. Have a wonderful Easter weekend, Resurrection Day. God bless. We'll see you next time.